All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles, episode number 43. This is a big one. All right, this is a big one. This is the bathroom board. We talked about it all off season. Justin's very happy. It's a little bit of foreshadowing. We had, you know, all off season. We discussed, you know, little bets, and they added up and they created a board of bets. And the board we discussed, we called it the bathroom board. And this is the bathroom board episode we've long been discussing, but it's about damn time we talk about it. All right. But before we get into all that, we have a lot of news. Before we get into all the news, all right, we have to do some introductions. With me today is my guy, my co-host, my main man, Justin at JustinFF_Justin. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, John. It's good to be back on, but I don't know if you noticed or not. I got a little bit different background today. It's a throwback kind of day that we've got going on today because of our news that we're going to be breaking here in just a moment. A little bit more foreshadowing, but back when we first started this thing a year ago, almost a full year ago actually, didn't have a backdrop, and I threw up a Colts blanket. So now I normally use the fireplace when I'm at home, and I can't. It's hard for me to get to the recording studio on Saturday mornings. But That's right. And we also might even have a second recording studio coming up pretty soon too. So pretty excited about that. I wish I could get one of these recording studios and ship it out to New York for you. but now I'm pretty excited about all the moves that we're making. We're growing. But we got to remember where we started and remember how much of a struggle it was when we first started trying to figure out how to do this thing together. Like, you had a history of doing your podcast by yourself.
Right.
It was mostly just the audio stuff. Dude, it was a struggle. So now I look back, I watched episode one, a little bit of episode one this morning, and I was like, man, we have come a long way.
I should go back and watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it's a process, man. Everything's a process. And we grew and we're growing. We're continuing to grow. And that's a little bit more foreshadowing. But I do want to introduce our other co-host who's not currently here. He's plowing, I believe. Or no, he had a transformer go out at like 4 o'clock this morning. So the dude's tied up. Dude's always working. He's very busy. That's Nate, the Dirt Man, at Nate_Dirt19. And you can find me on the Twitters at Coach Sheps. It's at Coach SCHEPPS. And the show on Twitter at Toilets Two Titles. And you can listen to this show, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean. We have a Facebook group, Toilets Two Titles. And I have a Facebook group that I kind of intertwine with this called When a Family Breaks, where I do sports card sales, trading, buying, all that good stuff. It goes live on there. We're also on Spotify. However you're listening to us, it would be greatly appreciated if you headed over to our YouTube channel. You could look up Toilets of Titles, or you could find it in the show notes. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Podbean or Spotify, it's all the way at the bottom. If you go to the YouTube channel, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave some comments. All of that would be greatly appreciated because that'll just help the algorithm, help push us to the top when people search fantasy football. So I think that's enough of an introduction, really, to the show. Now we can get into some news, some Toilets to Titles news. The toilet bowl is getting a little bit bigger this off season. We're expanding a little bit. Justin, I'm going to pass it over to you for some introductions.
Okay, yeah. So we've got three new team members. So we are bumping up 100% here. I mean, I just did that math really quick in my head, so I'm pretty sure we had three. Now we have six. So I think that's 100%. But
double.
But yeah. So we got some great guys that we're bringing on, and the best part of it though is that they've all been supporters or friends of the show. A couple of them since the very beginning, and another one since the season recently started, since the most recent NFL season started. So it feels good to be able to bring them on, and we're going to have them on as guests from time to time and kind of see how all that works out. But what we're really excited about is a couple of them are going to be actually writing articles for FusionFFB.com. So, and of course, most of you that watch all the time, you already know that FusionFFB.com is a website that Joshua has allowed us to use. It's his, Joshua Bigby from Fusion, and as a constant guest of our show, he has his own website, and he has let us utilize that for our own articles and to boost our own show. So we have Ben Duven at Live from the Ben, as you can see down there at the bottom. He's going to be writing articles on a pretty regular basis. He's going to try to shoot for one every week. So that's a pretty big goal. We'll see how well that works out. But he does have his first article out there. As far as the actual product goes, I'm excited about it. I think he did a hell of a job. It's talking about Corey Davis, and he compared him to a couple of big time players, and he made some real solid arguments for why you should buy Corey Davis. So that's something to think about. It's mostly going to be like that, players to buy and DFS sort of things. But we're going to have him on the show. We'll introduce him on a show here pretty soon. Then we have Ben Rudnick, and that's like Paul Rudd, Ben Rudnick. at BRUDN 19. He's going to be handling our social media accounts. That's going to be his primary role in here. So he's already done a great job. He stepped in yesterday and filled in for us. And I think he's going to be able to handle that really well. We're also going to be trying to get him on the show a little bit more regularly too. He's not been on as a guest just yet, but once he is, hopefully we can get him on pretty regularly as well.
I just want to say, as far as running the social media account, we'll still be on there. But what we're trying to accomplish is being able to be more interactive with all of you who are following and reaching out to us. You clearly can reach out to us, you know, on our own personal handles. But if you're reaching out to the show, which is also great, I want to be able to respond to that. We all have things going on throughout the day, but I don't want that to change. You know, last offseason, we made it a priority to be interacting with our followers and the people who support the show. And I want to be able to do that on a more regular basis and bring in somebody on who's going to help, you know, divvy out that load. I think will make it easier for us to be more interactive and hopefully help you, because there is no off season in fantasy football, right? Maybe in redraft you could say there is, but in dynasty, Devi, there isn't. And right. We need to be on top of it so that we can help as much as possible. And I think this is going to help us do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And another cool part too is that a couple of these guys are our Aussie buddies from Australia. And one of them is the next guy, Matt Hatton at Matthew. You see it down there. That's Matthew with two H's and two O's. He's also going to be writing on Fusion, and he'll be an occasional guest. So part of the reason it might be difficult to get them on as host from time to time is going to be because of the time zone differences. But with Matt, he's also going to be – wait, no, that was Ben. Yeah, with Ben Duven, he's also going to be helping out with the online account with the social media, the Twitter account while we're in bed. So in other words, kind of like what you were talking about, John, we're going to be able to have 24 hours, 7 days a week. There's going to be somebody constantly checking that account to help give you the assistance that you need. And on top of that, don't think that we, with two guys over there in Australia, we haven't considered the idea of possibly having an Aussie show as a branch off of Toilets and Titles, hopefully in our future, but that's down the road. We'll talk about that more when we get there, but we're just excited. We're just really excited to have these three guys on, and they're going to be a great fit for the team in the group chats that we have a lot in common, outside of just fantasy football. So it's going to be great. And another great thing we got coming up is an amazing partnership, and this is actually with one of your buddies, MJ Hurley. So I'm going to let you talk about that one, John. But this is another stepping stone in our progression, and it's all happening. There's so much happening this week, but just so you all know, it's not like we're getting too big for our britches here. We're not biting off more than we can chew, because this has been a long process. So we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to grow, but we're going to be responsible about it. But John, this is another way for us to advance.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to recap, like, everything you just said. Those guys have all been, you know, I think, you know, Ben, Dovin and Matt, they listened to me all the way back, I believe, even before Trifocal Football. So, you know, I'm excited for them. I'm excited to see what their content is and how they grow as writers. I'm excited to get them on the show and give them an opportunity, because at the end of the day, we're just a bunch of dudes who love talking about fantasy football. We're not like anybody. We're just guys. And you that listen to the show, you just enjoy hearing us talk about fantasy football. So we're getting more people that enjoy the same thing we do and are as passionate as we do. And hopefully we can showcase that and y'all enjoy that. But now for the partnership that MJ Hurley helped us with, I want to let you all know we're teaming up with Primetime Sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. So that's we're going to be on Primetime Sports Talk, y'all. So go check that website out. There's going to be a podcast tab. You can see us. You know, any other podcast that's going to be on there, it's a pretty big site. They got articles, all that good stuff. So you can go check that out and you can find us there. Man, so I think that's enough for announcements. So we can get down to the nitty gritty now, I think. What do you think?
Sounds good. I'm happy about today's episode, but yeah. I wasn't until I saw the results. So maybe I shouldn't have worked so hard to look at the results first. But somebody, I mean, so well, I guess – we had to have it ready for the show, I guess.
Yeah. Somebody won the battle and somebody won the war. And this is the bathroom board. And gotcha. The only fitting way to start the bathroom board is probably the biggest, the battle of the bastard sons.
What started it all?
That started it all. It might not have been the, you know, winter is coming. It might not have been, I forget what that battle was called. What was that battle called when the White Walkers finally came?
When the what? What
are you talking about? Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I have not.
Oh my god!
I'm going to
watch that, man.
I'm going to. I have to wait until the entire series is out for free.
So it is. Oh, for free.
Okay. For free somewhere. Like I don't pay for television. I think.
When's your birthday?
What's that?
When's your birthday?
March 17th. It's coming up.
All right. Game of Thrones.
No, dude. You've done enough. So the only thing I pay for to watch on television is the NFL. So, I lied. I also make sure to pay for the app to have AMC so I can watch The Walking Dead.
And Masked Singer. You watch that too, probably.
I watch the free ones when they come out. Not gonna lie.
Well, then you have no idea what I'm discussing. But there are battles in that show. All right. And then there was a war. And this was for all of you listening, this was the battle of the bastard sons. This was like what started the bathroom board. David Montgomery versus Miles Sanders. You know, there was a lot of back and forth this season between me and you, even Nate a little bit, you know, but and also on Twitter in general. It all started because I thought they were a lot closer than people were making them think, or making it seem. And because of that, I still had Miles slightly ahead of David Montgomery, but I didn't think it was so far off, and I didn't think it was going to be like impossible for Monty to outscore Miles Sanders. And a lot of fantasy football pundits and accounts were just making it seem like they're like there's a huge gap, the Grand Canyon's between them. So I was like, you know, and you'll notice I do this a lot. I write checks sometimes that the players can't cash because I like to go for the underdog.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily all about that though. Because I've got to give you props that when you're against the grain and you know that you're against the grain, but you've got a good feeling about it, you're still willing to put it out there. So I think that's the only reason why the results are the way that the results are, because I'm far more conservative. Like like, I know that these bets, we really didn't have anything on the line. It was just for bragging rights. But even with that, like, I was a lot more conservative about my bets than you were. So I got to give you props there. Your bets were a lot more ballsy. We'll say that.
All right. Well, this first one, Montgomery versus Sanders, what were your thoughts on the bet initially? And then we'll discuss who won.
So my initial thought was I felt like you were correct in that Monty was being undervalued. Obviously, nobody really saw him rolling with the finish that he had on the season. But then with Miles Sanders, I fell into the hype just like a lot of other people. I can't say everyone else because you clearly didn't, but a lot of other people, based on how he finished the season the previous year, I just thought that Miles Sanders was going to be the guy. I thought he was going to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. I thought I knew that offensive line was going to be a little weaker, but I thought that was going to help him in the passing game. And we were basing our bets on PPR. So in my mind, even if you were right, which I didn't think you were going to be right and that they were going to be really close, but even if you were right, I still thought that Sanders had that edge and I thought it was a safe bet. And wow, I was wrong.
and like midway through the season, it was close because Sanders missed a few games and it was almost like, oh, it's just close because Sanders missed a few games, even though like Monty still had a slight edge PPR. So there was people I was going at on Twitter as well with this. Because yeah. I made a statement, I want to say in like July, that Monty was going to outscore Sanders, and everyone thought I was just being a jerk off. Like I was just looking for attention. So I made sure to go back, you know, the sass and the spite came out. I made sure to go back and reach out to those people when he was outscoring them, and they were saying, oh, you know, it's just because Sanders missed a few games. But then, like, Monty hit stride, and he balled down the stretch. Bald. And I like the kid coming out of Iowa State. I like him in the NFL. Mitch, just, you know, in Chicago, like the running game, you know, go back to Matt Forte, like, you know, they just get it done on the ground. And so David Montgomery clearly outscored Miles Sanders. Victory to me on the first one. This next one, not looking too good for me. I had Matt Ryan. You had Aaron Rodgers. And I had Matt Ryan all the way up at quarterback 7. I had Rodgers at quarterback 12. You had Ryan at quarterback 15 and Rodgers at quarterback 8. So we were like completely opposite. And again, we were going off. We do rankings and we post those rankings on FusionFFB.com. We do them with Joshua Bigby. He's been gracious enough to let us post it on there. And we actually averaged them out, you know, so you could see where we on average. But those were I had Ryan at 7. You had Rodgers at 8. I had Rodgers at 12. You had Ryan at 15. So what are your thoughts on this one? And then go. I mean, everyone knows who won this one, but go ahead.
Yeah, so with this one, it's kind of like how you said with Miles Sanders and Monty, you had them ranked a little bit closer than you probably would have, just because everybody was as a consensus had them ranked like you probably would have went a little higher on Monty and a little lower on Miles had it not been for what the major consensus of people just kind of adjusting those numbers in your head. Like it just kind of like you don't mean to do it. You're just kind of thinking, man, is there really a reason I'm missing here? And that's how it was for me with both of these guys. I really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to be a little better than 8th and Ryan a little worse than 15th. I ended up ranking them closer together just because of everybody else. So I think that's a lesson to both of us that we need to just follow our gut and really roll with it. But yeah, as far as Matt Ryan goes, he's always up and down. He always has really good seasons or really bad seasons, really good, really bad. Like he's bouncing back and forth all the time. He's not a very consistent quarterback. So the reason I had him ranked lower was because of that chance that he could have his bad season. So I'm not going to rank a quarterback in the top 10 if he's that inconsistent on a year-to-year basis. I don't care who his weapons are. So like I'm not going to spend a draft pick on a quarterback that could potentially have a bad season. And that's why I rank him lower. Like next season, I might have him ranked 25th now because of all this, and he can come out and have a top 10 finish. That's fine, whatever. If I got him really late, 25th level, I'm fine with that. But with Aaron Rodgers, we know what we have with him. We know every single season he's going to put up the stats. Maybe he doesn't win the Super Bowl, you know, but he's going to win the stats across the board. nearly every single season. Even when he's injured, his points per game are always still really high. So he finds a way to score points. He's just too consistent.
I don't know what I was thinking. You know, well, I know what I was thinking about Ryan. I guess the fact that Green Bay didn't help Rodgers, all he had was Adams. Aaron Jones was going into a contract year. I thought maybe they'd run him into the ground. Their defense played better the year prior, so I thought maybe they'd play a little more conservative on offense, play good defense. Like, those are all things that factored into my Rodgers analysis. And then with Ryan, you know, Calvin Ridley's emerging. They added Hayden Hurst, Julio Jones. They added Gurley. You know, I thought that offense is going to be great, but he looked like Blake Bortles this year. You know what I mean? With a better supporting cast. Blake Bortles made a AFC championship game. Matt Ryan made a Super Bowl, but, you know, I don't know if they're that much different, man, now after watching him this past season. I had him a lot of places. Like, I put my money where my mouth is. I had a lot of Matt Ryan in Superflex, and he hurt me. He hurt me big time. So, Justin, you won that one. It's 1-1. This next one is an interesting one. I think this one is a good one for next year. So maybe we should table this one if you're interested. Well, clearly there's a winner this year. But I think if you would like to, we could start off the bathroom board for next season with this one. Nick Chubb. I had Nick Chubb. You had Derrick Henry. Nick Chubb was our consensus running back 8. Henry was our consensus running back 6. I had Chubb 7th, and I had Henry 8th. So I had Chubb 1 spot above Henry. You had Chubb 9th and Henry 4th. So go ahead, Justin. What are your thoughts?
So my thoughts here were, do I want the running back that plays for the team that throws the ball 10 times a game? I know that's hyperbolic, but you get what I'm saying. And he's also the only running back on the team. Or do I want the running back that's talent-wise going to be splitting carries with another top 10 running back in the league on a team that also gets behind a lot and throws the ball a lot? So to me, that was a no-brainer just strictly because of opportunity. If it's talent and we're trying to start a fantasy dynasty team based on talent alone, yeah, I'd probably go ahead and take Chubb because he's more well-rounded than Henry. But when it came to the opportunity, I saw this as a no-brainer. But I also want to preface it this by saying that later on, if we have time, we're going to get to the bold predictions. I don't know if we will or not, but for this one, at least I need to mention it. I did say in my bold predictions that Nick Chubb was going his performance this season will make him a top 5 ADP player for next season. And obviously that's still to be determined. I don't think he necessarily did that because of the performance of Hunt coming off the bench and in injury time. But I still was extremely high on Chubb. Don't get me wrong. Like I thought that he would show that kind of talent, but I just thought that Henry was going to have that much more opportunity. It's the only reason I placed that bet.
Agreed. I mean, I had Chubb 1 spot above Henry. So this one, I think, was a good one in general. Like, we were pretty close on this one. These are two good players. And I thought Chubb was going to take a step out. I think he's a breakout candidate like you. And I thought Henry, you know, might take a little bit of a step back. And was wrong. Henry was still the king this year, 2,000 yards in the ground. And Chubb did look good, you know, in spurts. And I think he's a dude. So this one will be interesting for next year. So, Justin, you won this one. You were up 2-1. This next one here, I had Preston Williams, and you had Devontae Parker. I had Preston Williams 45th and Devontae Parker 42nd. You had Preston Williams 65th and Devontae Parker 41st. We were very close to where we ranked Devontae Parker. He finished 44th. So we were like very close. And the consensus rankings for him, if you include Joshua and Nate, was up to 35th. So me and you were clearly lower than those two. So we were very close on Parker, but I was off on Preston Williams. And I know all offseason you were talking about his injury, and it's going to take him some time to come back. And that was a huge factor. I thought he was going to be ready. I thought he was going to be, ready to go. And I thought he was going to dominate. I think he's a better player than Devontae Parker. And this year he didn't look like it. He finished 95th overall. Tua, you know, with Fitz, you know, they were a lot better in the air. And when they took Fitz out, that changed things a lot. And this one, you won. Preston Williams finished 95th overall. Devontae Parker finished 44th overall.
Yeah, and that was it. It was just the injury. Like, I actually wanted to rank him a little bit lower, but then I kept thinking in the back of my head, we saw the talent that Preston Williams has. So if he does make some kind of a bounce back, I figured it would be around week 8, week 10, because of how late his injury was the previous year. But obviously, even then, he still didn't perform exceptionally well, but he did do a lot better towards the end of the season. So I'm probably going to rank him a lot higher next season, because that second year after that kind of injury, especially with wide receivers and running backs, you've got to give them a full entire year and then the rest of that year.
Unless you're Adrian Peterson.
But like with Joe Burrow, I'm not going to be as worried about it. Like, it's going to affect him. He's probably not going to get as many rushing yards and that sort of thing, but he's still a good quarterback. He's still fairly accurate and he still has a lot of weapons. So I'm not going to be as concerned about Joe Burrow or maybe a Mark Andrews or something like that if they come off of a major leg injury, knee injury. But with wide receivers and running backs, I really do take that serious.
All right. Like I said, unless you're Adrian Peterson.
Exactly. Or Emmanuel Sanders, dude. Oh,
man, Achilles. That's even tougher than the ACL. That was incredible. He must have been over in Europe with the spinning his stem cells or whatever they do over there. That's very interesting.
Right.
This next one's a good one. This was my Cowboys. I had CeeDee Lamb. You had Michael Gallup. CeeDee Lamb was our consensus wide receiver 37, and Gallup was our consensus wide receiver 32. I had Lamb at 28 and Gallup at 37. Justin had Lamb at 37 and Gallup 29. And I think it was clear from the jump that Lamb was higher in the pecking order than Gallup in Dallas. Gallup is he's the vertical threat. You know, Lamb and Cooper are a little more of the intermediate guys. And they were trying to get the ball in Lamb's hands, and Lamb definitely, you know, had a very solid season. And that was with Dak going down. You know, I think that the gap might have been even larger had Dak been healthy, you know, because Gallup's always got potential for a 2-touchdown game, you know, 3 or 4 catches, 100 and something yards. But if he's not having that big game, you know, his floor is a lot lower. I figured Lamb's floor was a lot higher. And CeeDee Lamb outscored Michael Gallup this season. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my big mistake is that I've never been big on rookie wide receivers. I've always thought it takes them a couple of years to mesh and form and really reach their high potential, which I still believe that, which makes me, you know, pretty excited about the future of CeeDee Lamb and guys like Justin Jefferson and that sort of thing. But what rookie wide receivers did this year was pretty much slap me in the face and make me realize that I was being bullish for all the wrong reasons. So they opened up my eyes, especially with a bet like this. Like, looking back on it now, it seems like it was fairly obvious, and I should have known better.
So now it's 3-2, but next year, so if we want to do the Chubb Henry thing, I'll take Lamb over Jefferson next year.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, oh man, I just now thought about Dak coming back, but but Jefferson's my guy. Like, one day I'm probably going to buy a Jefferson jersey. So yeah, I'll still stick with that. We need to mark that down though.
Let's start a different doc.
We are already starting the 2021 Bathroom Board Bets.
Here it is. You've heard it. We got Chubb Henry, possibly. We for sure got Lamb Jefferson. So there's a big one.
Yeah, we still have Chubb Henry. I'll go one more season on that.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna open this doc up and start writing it.
You go ahead and do that, and I'll bring up the next one here. Our next bet was Amari Cooper versus Adam Thielen, and John, you had Amari Cooper here, wide receiver 10 was your ranking on him, and I had him as a wide receiver 18. He ended up 14, so we were both pretty accurate on that. You were a little high, I was a little low. But Thielen is where it kind of helped me out here. You had Thielen as your wide receiver 16, which actually, I mean, it made sense. But for me, Thielen as a wide receiver 9, and he ended up wide receiver 10. I took Thielen overall, so he beat Cooper by 4 spots. But my way of thinking was that without Diggs there, see, I was right about this one, but not for the right reasons, because my thought process was without Diggs there, Thielen's going to be the man. He's going to be the number one, and there's not going to be much else there, because that rookie wide receiver, again, Justin Jefferson, even though I was a big fan of his coming out of college and I knew he was going to be great, I still did not think he would be that good his first couple seasons, and it would take time, rookie wide receiver. But it ended up working the other way around, and that since Justin Jefferson was on the other side, he helped take away some of that defensive load, just like Diggs did, and Thielen was still able to have another great season. So that's the only reason I was right on that one, even though it was for the wrong reasons. I'm still taking the point though, John. Like I said, John took Cooper on that one, and I'm not real sure on the thought process there, other than maybe he's a Cowboys fan, he's a homer. But Cooper does consistently have really great seasons. I can totally see, like, he's one of those underrated players. So Amari Cooper is an underrated player, and I'm guilty of underrating him myself. So I gotta admit that as well. So John, you're back. What do you say about that bet?
I think that I just thought Cooper had a little more juice. You know, he's a little younger and more of a high-flying offense. But I think Dak going down hurt him for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but that's part of the game, man. That's part of gambling. Like, you can't take X factors out, you know, and that's a factor. So I think it would have been a little bit closer. But
yeah, it's clear that between the Dak injury and me being right for the wrong reason, this was just a lucky point for me. But I'll still take it.
You're up 4-2 right now, my friend. So you are up 4-2. This next one was me versus Nate. Nate can't defend himself, but he doesn't need to because he won. I had Cooper Kupp, who was our wide receiver 9. He had Calvin Ridley, who was our wide receiver 13. I had Kupp 9 overall, which was exactly where we had him ranked at consensus. I had Ridley 12. Nate had Kupp 9 and Ridley 12. So we both were the same, but he was willing to take Ridley. And Ridley finished 5th overall and Kupp 19th. So I think Kupp got a little dinged up this year. Goff didn't play that great, but Ridley had a breakout campaign, you know, pretty stellar breakout campaign, which is kind of funny because I bet on Matt Ryan earlier and Ridley had a huge year. Matt Ryan didn't, and neither did Julio. So this one hurt me. I got hurt by Ridley and Matt Ryan, which I don't know how that happened, but Nate won this one. Nate got me. So Nate's on the board. Nate's got a dub. All right. This next one was me versus you again, and you're up 4-2. Curtis Samuel, who was our wide receiver 45, you had. And I had Hunter Renfrow, who was I was pretty high on this offseason. We had him at 52 overall. I had Samuel at 48, Renfrow at 42. You had Samuel at 42 and Renfrow at wide receiver 51. And Curtis Samuel had a breakout campaign. Like, Curtis Samuel announced himself as a player in the NFL, like as somebody you need to game plan against. And also announced himself as a fantasy football player. And Justin, you won this one. Samuel was 26th overall. Renfrow was 56th. So the offseason Renfrow hype was not warranted. And it was all the Darren Waller show in Las Vegas. Like, that's how it went. You know, Renfrow did a few things, but not enough to be a fantasy worthy prospect. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I did not see the Curtis Samuel jump this season. I kind of figured that he would end up somewhere around that that 40 range, early 40s, early 50s range. So I felt confident with where I had him ranked. It was the Hunter Renfrow side that made the bet possible for me, because I kind of figured that between the two of them, if one of them wasn't going to do well, it would be Renfrow, because there were just so many options there, and they had that really good run game. So with Jacobs, so I just kind of assumed, and Jacobs, whether you want to believe it or not, Jacobs can catch the ball out of the backfield. So he was another option, another receiving option. And then with Carolina, when it came to Carolina, I just had more confidence in Teddy Bridgewater than I did Derek Carr, and I was wrong about that, but I was still right on the bet, so I'll take that one too. But yeah, no, it was more about my non love for Renfrow than it was my love for Samuel.
All right, this next one, you continue to smoke me here. I think, what is it, 4-2 or 5-2 right now? I took Philip Lindsay, running back 30 for us, consensus. You took Melvin Gordon, who was running back 17. And this was another one where I didn't think they were that far apart. You know, I thought Lindsay would be able to keep it up with Gordon weekly and score pretty close to him. And I had Lindsay at running back 29. I had Gordon at running back 25. So I had them, you know, pretty close in my rankings. I did have Gordon higher, but I had Lindsay, you know, pretty close to him. And you had Lindsay 33 and Gordon 16. So what do you think on this one?
Yeah, again, these are two running backs that I just don't like at all. I haven't their entire careers. And I know Melvin Gordon scores a lot of fantasy points, but that's because when he was with the Chargers, he would average like 2 yards per carry, but he would get all the goal line work. He always ended up finding the end zone sometimes several times a game. Like, so he would have those games that just made him extremely fantasy relevant. But with Lindsey, the dude just cannot stay healthy. He's too small. Yeah. He's not built to be an NFL running back. And as much as I do like him as far as flash goes, but as far as like being an actual NFL running back or a fantasy option, I've been far more down on him just because Melvin does get the goal line carries. That's why I chose to go with Melvin Gordon on this one. And like I said, the injury, consistent injuries with Lindsey.
Yeah. Lindsey flashed, like you said, he looked better at times, but Gordon had a few weeks where he actually looked like a good running back. So you won this one. So you're continued to be up. Now this next one was you versus Nate. Fournette, who was our consensus running back 13, was he a top five running back in PPR? Nate said yes. You said no. He was 35th overall. And not for nothing, I said it when the Bucks picked up Fournette. I said he was going to be quiet throughout the season. They were going to get him going down the stretch. And he was going to be a playoff force. They were going to run the football there because I thought Brady was going to throw the ball all over the yard in the regular season. But running and defense wins championships, and the Bucs did just that. So if you listened to the show, you knew that was going to happen. But anyway, tell us about this one between Fournette, you and Nate there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You did make that call, and you were absolutely correct on that. Nate had him as his RB10. I had him as my RB15, and I believe we made this bet before he went to the Bucks. But before or after, regardless, top five means he is only going to get beat by four running backs. So I was just playing the numbers here. It's very difficult to be a top five running back. You've got injuries to yourself, injuries to your offensive line, injuries to your quarterback, injuries to your wide receivers. Any of that can affect your numbers negatively. There's only a few things that have to go right for you, plus be talented enough to be a top five back. I don't think that Fournette is quite talented enough to be a top five back anymore. But even if he was, he would need all that other good stuff to fall his way. So I was just playing the numbers here. Again, qualms to Nate for having the balls to jump out and say, hey, you know what? I think he's a top five guy. I'm going to put it on the board. I'm going to make that bet. And then the conservative me looks at it and says, you know what? Yeah, I'll take that bet.
All right, so man, so that one you got that there. Next year, I think I'll take a bet with anybody that Fournette doesn't finish top 15 running backs. Like, if Nate wants to do that one, I'll take that one. If you want to do that one, I'll do that one. But let's move on to this next one. This one actually includes Shane. He's a guest on our show frequently, friend of the show, Shane Hallam. You had Chris Godwin, who's wide receiver 6 in our consensus rankings. He had DJ Moore, who was wide receiver 7, pretty close. You had Godwin 5 and Moore 7. Tell us about this one and tell us who the winner was.
Well, so on this one, Shane did win. It was really close if you look at the points per game. At points per game, Godwin won. So I feel a little bit vindicated there, but Godwin did miss more games. So Moore did win overall. But if I'm going to get beat, I'm perfectly okay with getting beat by one of the smartest and best analysts that we have.
Yeah.
Like the guy, I mean, he's an absolute genius. So I'm okay with that one. Right. We'll let Shane have that one. We can move on.
It's not like losing to me, you know, basically.
Well, that's exactly what I meant, but you know what I mean.
But you didn't do much of that anyway.
What's that?
You didn't do much of that anyway.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
All right. This next one, me versus you again. I had Sutton, who was our wide receiver 22. You had T.Y. Hilton, who was our wide receiver 26. I'll run this one back next year if you want to. I had Sutton, wide receiver 19 overall. Yeah, smart. Not take this one next year. I had Hilton, wide receiver 27. You had Sutton 24 and Hilton 19. You won this one. Sutton got hurt. Hilton outscored him. You watched the Colts this year, so you tell me your analysis on Hilton and how you think this would have played out had Sutton stay healthy. Like, are you happy you made this one?
Well, I'm happy I made the bet because I won, but this one was a little bit more risky. And the reason I took the chance on this one was one of the few ones that I actually took a little risk on was just because, with Sutton, I still don't feel like Drew Lock is a very great quarterback. I just don't. And I get that bad quarterbacks do not necessarily equal bad wide receivers. You know, a really great, talented wide receiver can still get his fantasy points and still get his yards and his touchdowns. Look at Calvin Ridley with Matt Ryan this season. So I get that. But at the same time, I also felt like with the Colts having Philip Rivers there last season, Philip Rivers has consistently just thrown the ball deep and hoped that it fell in the hands of his wide receivers. And while that is negative on the team and negative on Rivers' stats, that's good for wide receivers. I kind of figured that they would find that connection a little bit earlier in the season too. They did come on towards the end of the season a little better, that connection between Rivers and Hilton, but at the start of the season it was rough. So had Sutton not gotten hurt, there's a really good chance I feel like Sutton probably would have won this bet. So I'm not carrying this one over for next season.
Smart. All right, you won that one. You're on a roll. This next one, I finally got myself back into the victory formation. I had Anthony Miller, and Nate had Alan Lazard. I had Miller as my wide receiver 41 and Lazard as my wide receiver 48. Nate had Miller wide receiver 50 and Lazard wide receiver 45. I won this one. It wasn't great because Miller finished wide receiver 68 and Lazard 78, so I still had them both ranked much higher than they finished, so I'm not feeling too great about that. But I got the dub. You know, I went with Trubisky's target. Nate went with Rodgers' target. And this is one time that Trubisky side wins. So I got the W here. This next one was me versus Justin. We were talking about Cam Newton.
Again, playing the numbers. So if he's a top 10 quarterback, that means that he at best is only going to get beat by 9 other quarterbacks. And before we made this bet, we knew that that defense was going to be a lot worse this year because of all the guys that were opting out for COVID. We also knew that he didn't have a lot of receiving options there. I mean, it's just a totally different team. We kind of expected this. If that was still going to be a good team, then Tom Brady would have stayed there to try to keep winning Super Bowls. If he's leaving, if he's dipping out, it's for a reason. So that team was just falling apart, and I wasn't super confident in it. I will admit that I did draft him in redrafts really late when he was available, because there were a few leagues that he was really late on, and I went ahead and took a chance on him just in case so I could see where somebody would make that bet, thinking that, you know, Bill Belichick will find a way. But I just wasn't that confident. So, again, I just played the numbers.
Smart. All right, this next one, you won that one. The next one was Hayden Hurst versus – and you were going against Joshua Bigby from Fusion FFB here. You had Hayden Hurst. He had Jonnu Smith. I remember, like, what this was – I don't know if it was during a chat – like during the show, if there was comments made or if we were doing a mock draft or something, but this one was a big one between you two. Tell me about this one.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that Josh is still watching, because the only reason I really took this bet was because he was giving me +4.5 spots. Okay. So the way it finished, Jonnu finished 8th. So that would mean that I would need at 12.5 total, I would need Hurst to finish 12th or better, and Hurst finished 13th, and it was only by 1 point. So if he would have gotten one more catch or 10 more yards, then I actually would have – he would have been tied for 12th, and I would have been able to count this as a win. So it's pretty insane. But it was obviously a really close bet. It was a good bet on Josh's part. And this is why our guest come in and make these side bets with us, because they're only on with us every so often. So we know there's no chance that they could win the board bets, but they have a chance to do something like this and spoil our wins. So I'm sure Josh was pretty happy about that one.
He gave me a chance to stay in there with this one.
Yeah,
I didn't come through. All right, this next one was me versus you. I had Dallas Goedert and you had Hayden Hurst. So again, with the Hayden Hurst love, Joshua was wondering if it made it on the record. It did. But that being said, Goedert versus Hurts. I had Goedert. You had Hurts. You won this one. Hurst won. Was 13th. Goedert was 19th. And that was with Ertz hurt. That was part of my reasoning taking this bet. I thought Ertz was going to go down, and it was going to be Goedert's offense, and it was not. The offense was absolutely horrible. I can't believe you even finished 19th. But you won this one, my man.
Yeah, no, I only won because Carson Wentz sucks. I think it was another one where I kind of got lucky because Goddard actually did get hurt a little bit himself as well this season. So he was a little banged up. So, and then that offensive line was just horrendous this year. Like none of them really had a chance. So, and that's not anything that either of us could have saw going into the season. So, but again, it's just another one where I just got lucky on this one. But I'll go ahead and mention this next one. I'll start up this next one because I'm going to totally own up to this one. Jace Sternberger, man, I don't know. That one playoff game was enough for me to think that this guy was going to be a monster in the NFL. And that was very stupid and lazy analysis on my part. I made a bet with you, John, that Sternberger was going to be a top 12 tight end. One of the few out there bets that I made. I was that confident in the guy, so I apologize to anybody like the infamous Uncle Steve that went out and drafted Sternberger, even though it was late in some rounds. But I had him as my tight end 18. But I thought I saw real potential. And when you're talking tight ends and fantasy football, anywhere from about 8 or 9 to 25, you're talking just a few points. So one touchdown can make a big difference. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to give him that chance. I didn't see any other options out there. I knew they had Bob Tonyan, but Bob Tonyan was just another guy. And I just – and I knew Rodgers didn't typically throw to his tight ends, but I also knew he hadn't had a good tight end since Michael Finley. And yeah, you can make your arguments about Jimmy Graham or whatever, but Jimmy Graham wasn't Jimmy Graham when he was with the Packers either. So Rodgers will still throw to the tight end if he's got a good one. I thought Sternberger was a good one. I was wrong.
So did Nate, because this next one, these got me two wins back to back. Nate was willing to take Sternberger over Font, and I'm high on no Font. So I was happy with this one, and I won this one as well. Font was 14th. I think Sternberger was – what was Sternberger? 64th. So I won this one by a landslide. But Nate won this next one by a landslide. I had the Cowboys win total over the Packers win total. And boy, was this an embarrassing one. The Cowboys played like trash, and the Packers played very well. Nate won this one. This next one after that, Leonard Fournette, you were taking him. I took Gurley. And this was like the battle of, you know, the two wounded warriors here. Neither of them really looked that good. Fournette looked good down the stretch, but they didn't. What's up, Rich? Welcome to the chat. I know it's hard for you out there. Sorry if you're listening on a podcast form rather than YouTube. Rich just joined the chat, the YouTube channel, and he's a big follower of the show, and I wanted to say what's up. But anyway, Gurley outscored Fournette. So I won this one. You have any thoughts on Gurley versus Fournette? Other than that, it was an embarrassing matchup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I still thought that Fournette was whenever I don't remember when we made this bet because it was one of the later bets. So he was probably with, if I had to guess, he was probably with the Bucks when I made this bet. So with that being said, I do know that I've never had love for Rojo. So maybe that's where I was coming with this. But with Todd Gurley, I always kind of felt like he was always still going to find a way to hit the end zone. So I don't really know why I would have made this bet, but obviously, clearly I did. And I was wrong.
All right. This next one, you took McLaurin and Fournette combined. I took Kenny Golladay and Mark Ingram. And I thought that Golladay, I like McLaurin over Golladay, but I thought it'd be close enough. And I thought Ingram was going to outscore Fournette by enough to make it difference. And you won this one by a lot. McLaurin and Fournette combined for 220 points. Ingram and Golladay. Golladay went down. Ingram was just a non-factor in Baltimore. They combined for 88 points. So you won this one by 132 points.
Yeah, I thought that McLaurin would be the one that carried me in this bet, and I was right. I didn't. I kind of thought he'd do better than he actually did, though. So I look for him to improve even more next season. So I'm willing to make some McLaurin bets again next season if you think of any.
I like McLaurin, so I'm not going to be betting against him too much.
And clearly, I also got lucky with that Galladay injury as well. Like, had Galladay played his normal, typical type of season or even improved a little, this could have been a much different bet.
Ingram let me down. He was healthy. He's the one who really dropped the ball here. All right, these next ones, we're going to finish off with just the, we're finish off with the rest of the bathroom board bets. We have about five more. These next ones, we did first quarter recap. We did some predictions for the second half of the season or for the final three quarters of the season, but we added a few bathroom board bets. And these next five for basically from that point on, so from week four on. From week four on, you took Zach Moss. I took Devin Singletary. And Zach Moss won by 7.5 points. So it was very close. This was a very good one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great bet. And I honestly thought that Moss would outscore him by more. So Singletary keeping it close scared me all throughout the season, because I was actually keeping eyes on this one because I had so many shares of Zach Moss. So while I may have won this bet, I lost in fantasy because I was expecting more of Moss. So I drafted him higher than what he performed for me.
There was a game where I think Singletary got banged up early on. I want to say like late down the stretch, like week 12, week 11. And Zach Moss got an opportunity. They were going to make him the bell cow for the rest of the game. He came out and he fumbled the ball. And this was in the first quarter. Again, they were going to shut Singletary down. I think he had like a head thing going on. And they sat Moss, and Singletary suited back up. And from that point on, like if he wouldn't have fumbled, I think it would have been a much different. He would have outscored Singletary by a lot. That was a major setback for him in that offense. And I don't think we really got to see him fully blossom because of that fumble. Like, that was the turning point. It could have really been Zach Moss's ground attack.
And moving forward, I'm still buying in heavily to Moss because I still think that he's a better running back than Singletary.
I think they're both good. I think Singletary is very elusive. He's got eyes in the back of his head. He gets it done. But Moss is just big, strong, physical, and what I said before the season was I wanted to see the Bills run the ball 40 times a game because I like both of them. And they did the opposite. And Josh Allen had a hell of a year. All right, this next one was week 12. I took the Ravens +8, and Nate took the Steelers -8. And the Steelers won by 5. So I won this one. All right, the next one was, again, from week 12 to week 16. It was Todd Gurley finishes as running back 20 or better. I said that he would. Or no, you said he would. I said he wouldn't. And he finished 63rd with only 19.5 points with playing all four games. So I hit the nail on the head, and you did not.
Yeah, I got hit with the hammer.
There you go. There you go. So I won that one. Week 12 predicted the Bengals would beat the Giants. Justin, you picked the Bengals. Me and Nate took the Giants. The Giants were starting to roll at that point. Me and Nate won that one.
2 points. Two points. And I believe, if I remember right, there was a missed field goal late in the game that would have won the game for the Bengals. So yeah.
All right, and then finally, the last one was week 13 only. You took Taysom Hill. I took Mitch Trubisky for points. And Taysom beat Trubisky by 12 points.
I meant to go back and watch that episode of us too, and I didn't have time this week. But I honestly don't remember, everything that led up to that bet. So it'll be interesting to see why I made that bet. But I'm glad I did.
All right, I'm going to quickly just rattle off my bold predictions and you rattle off yours. I had Russell Wilson with the season-ending injury, and the Hawks will draft his successor in the top three rounds in next year's rookie draft. He didn't go down, but there is a buzz that he might get moved on from. So there still is a possibility that they draft his successor in the top three rounds, but I didn't get that one correct. The next one, Mariota will start more games than Carr. He did not, but I liked when Mariota started. He looked good. I thought he looked good, and I think he's going to start somewhere next year. I also said Rivers goes down and Eason and Jonathan Taylor will carry the Colts to the playoffs. That did not happen. And finally, I predicted Terry McLaurin and Cortland Sutton will finish top 15. McLaurin did. Sutton got hurt, so that one did not come through. So I was wrong on all my bold predictions. They're bold for a reason. What were your bold predictions, Justin?
Well, so my bold predictions that I got wrong, one of them, Coach Sheps had 18 total pass defense in 7 games in a flag football tournament in 1 weekend. Yeah. Coach Sheps was tearing it up in 7 games, 18 total pass defense. So my prediction was that there would not be one single NFL player that would beat his numbers in 2020. There wouldn't be one that would beat 18 pass defense. So I went, and before I made the bet, I went all the way back to 2003, and there had always been at least 2 players that had beaten that number in any one given season. So 2 players or more. This year, I was actually really close because only 1 player beat those numbers. Xavien Howard had 20, but there were 3 guys that had 18 pass defense this year that would have tied John, but I would have taken that as a win. But since Xavien Howard did get more than 18, I have to count that as a loss. So trying to show my love for you, John, bit me in the ass on that one. another bold prediction I had that Alexander Mattison would finish as the RB35 or better, and that Steven Sims would finish as the wide receiver 25 or better. And I was pretty confident in the Madison one, and he finished 66th. So that was really bad confidence. but I was just mostly being hopeful, and the Steven Sims thing is what I thought was going to make it bold. He wasn't even anywhere close. He was 112. Most games he didn't even catch the ball. So I'm finally done with him. Unfortunately, I got to move on from him in fantasy, which really sucks because I kind of really like the guy. Another one that I'm probably going to be wrong on is that I said that Chubb's performance this season will make him a top 5 ADP player for the 2021 season. Like overall, like redrafts, he would end up being a top 5 overall pick next season. It's still kind of to be determined, but I don't think that his average ADP, just from looking at it right now, I don't think he's going to end up being a top 5 overall.
And if he does, it's going to be because Hunt gets traded or something.
Right. Yeah. So, but it is what it is. But I did get one right, and it was on a technicality. I'll throw that out there. I'll admit that it was on a technicality, but I got it right because I specifically put the names of the players in the bet. So the bet was that Derrick Henry will have more all-purpose yards in 2020 than the rest of the AFC South's starting running backs will have in rushing yards combined. So Mac, Fournette, and David Johnson. So I was counting Fournette as the Jaguars' starting running back and Marlon Mack. So, and then I also threw in Marlon Mack's receiving yards as well. So all combined, they ended up with 1,087 yards rushing and then Mack's receiving. And Henry, his all-purpose yards were 2,141. So I blew that bet out of the water. Now, obviously, if we were counting JT instead of Mack and counting Robinson instead of Fournette, then those two alone would have beaten Henry just with their rushing yards alone, not even counting David Johnson's pathetic 691 yards. But either way, I was kind of teetering on whether or not I would count it or not, but either way, I still won the bathroom board bets for 2020. So I went ahead and counted it just to make the win look even more impressive.
Well, there you have it. Justin announced it. Justin, what was the final score of the first season 1 2020 bathroom board? What was the final score? I can't find that here.
So the final score, 4th place, was a tie. It goes to Shane and Joshua. They each scored 1 point. 3rd place was our man Nate, which wasn't too bad. I think he only made 5 bets, and he ended up winning 3 of them. So he did really well with the bets that he did bet. So we're going to have to get him more involved with the bets this year. And we've got 3 new guys that we can start throwing in these bets as well. So that's going to be fun.
Yes.
John, you were 2nd place with 9 points, and until the possible potential adjustments come out, whenever what do they call it, whenever somebody says like they want to take it back to court and they want to dispute. Retrial. What's that?
Retrial, I think.
Yeah, well, dispute, whatever. Like, until John and Nate announce if they want to dispute my 3 points for my my Derrick Henry call, as of right now, I'm in 1st place with 16, but that could get knocked down to 13, depending on what the judge says.
Okay, so it was pretty close. You beat me by 4 or 7, one or the other.
Yeah.
Not bad. Well, it was a lot of fun. We already started the 2021 bathroom board. The first two we got on there, 100% win rate that Joshua's got. He loves the numbers. He's a numbers guy, 100% win rate. That's phenomenal. We already started the 2021 bathroom board. I got CeeDee Lamb. You got Justin Jefferson. I got Nick Chubb. You got Derrick Henry. And we're going to keep adding to that. I do want to let everybody know, again, before we cut out, we appreciate you. We're looking forward to a strong offseason. Go back and listen to last week's mock draft. It was a blast. We had a lot of fun. We had some good guests on there. Where you could find the show, you could find the show on Twitter, at Toilets to Titles. My co-host, Justin, over here is at JustinFF underscore. I am at Coach Sheps. Nate, who's not here currently, is at Nate underscore Dirt 19. And the new members of the T2T family, all right, Ben Dobin is at Live from the Ben. Ben Rudnick is at BRUDN19. And Matt Hatton is at Matt CHHOO, at Matt Chu. So go follow them as well. They're going to be joining the family. They're going to be joining the bathroom board. Like I said earlier, go find our YouTube link if you could. It's in the show notes. Or if you're watching live on YouTube, if you can hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, leave us a comment. All of that would be greatly appreciated. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please go ahead, leave us a five-star review. The Frankensteak League is going to expand because now we got some help. So we're going to have three this season. Okay, we have the original Frankensteak, and then we're adding two more. So that means there's room for what? About 20 more listeners, right? We'll probably add some friends of the show. So it'll probably be about five or six friends of the show and about 14 listeners. So if you want to get in the Frankensteak League this year, leave us a review. We're going to start giving away opportunities to get in this league. I think it was a $25 or $35 buy-in, and we gave away like four spots. There's two new leagues, so we're probably going to give away like six or seven spots. So if you want to get in, leave us a review, and that'll help. And then we'll also be announcing and discussing more ways for you to get in, but that's definitely a way for you to get in. Justin, before we leave, what do you got to say, my man?
I also want to throw in, go to Twitter, like my my other Twitter handle, at Handler Show. This is another show that I'm starting up on my own to help us out with our network with MLO, who lets us use their studios. The MLO guys help are helping me learn how to edit videos and be more professional with the show and help bump our game up. There's also some big news coming up with that hopefully soon, but I can't announce anything just yet. But I will say also, on a personal level, guys, I got my dream job back. I got the offer letter yesterday. I'm going to go back to teaching math for at-risk kids at a quasi-military school. Absolutely tickled to death about this. I haven't been the same since I lost that job before because I didn't have my teaching degree, but things have changed. I'm back in the game, and I'm excited about that. And it's actually probably going to help our podcast out a little bit because of some things that they might be having me do with the cadets on podcasting. And so, but I'll announce that a little bit later if we end up going down that road. It's not official yet. So, but like I said, at Handler Show right now, I've interviewed two guests, assistant coach for the Ball State baseball team and a professional bowler, Jeff Hatt. So Jeff Hatt and Blake Beamer are my only two interviews. We have not dropped them yet, but if you just like the Twitter handle, I will be dropping those once we do drop those interviews. I'm going to try to get a few more first, but it's been a lot of fun. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Congratulations, man. Everybody in the chat is saying congratulations. There isn't a more deserving guy than you. You work hard. You're a good dude. You treat people with respect, and you're a nice guy. So all those things you deserve. I do want you to go back and make a cut of that, a sound drop of you saying I'm tickled to death, because that is just something that I need to hear over your tickled to death. That's a great – that is a very innocent thing to be saying. So, yeah. Love it, man. Love it. And I'm happy for you. We're all happy for you. So that is great news. So everybody, we appreciate you joining us. And this offseason, we're going to be rolling. We got another mock coming up in a few weeks. We're going to be bringing on the new members of the team. Go back and listen to last week's mock. And enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your offseason. We'll be talking to you all soon.